All right.
Go ahead. Okay, start. Go ahead, start. Okay. I'm going to leave this stuff in there this time. I always say I'm going to and I never do, but today...
I'm going to leave it.
Today I'm going to leave it.
Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting your own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show will help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach. And just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me, as always, is David Hilton.
Mitch, I don't want this to be political. We get a lot of flack. Well, I wouldn't say flack. Maybe some complaints about it.
Yeah.
But, dude, I was on the phone today. I was on hold for 2 hours and almost 45 minutes with the Missouri Department of Revenue just because they enacted a law or some kind of safety. It was safety, not law, that you had to individually grant access from your payroll to do certain things, right?
Mm-hmm.
2 hours and 45 minutes. I was on the phone with the gal who was super nice for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
10 minutes.
And what was the reason?
Someone had miskeyed my birthday. That's
so,
it.
So you were trying to plug in your birthday and it said that's not,
yeah.
Our records don't show that.
No criteria matches your description,
yeah.
Or something like that. And I was like, what? 2 hours and 45 minutes.
That's crazy.
Dude, people don't have time for this shit.
No.
It's crazy. You know, I like all this stuff. Like, you know, you'll see posts that are like, oh, we added security for this and this and this, but it's not going to cost any money. It's like, do you imagine, like, can you
time
imagine how many, not even my money, like how much staff they have,
yeah,
for stupid shit like that,
yep,
in the office for 2.5 hours, yeah, per on-call? Dude,
yeah,
we're talking millions and millions and millions of dollars. And people are like, no, red tapes, that's bullshit. You can't have too much red tape. Like,
yeah.
What? What? I wasted half of a day today.
That's not political either. That's just bureaucratic.
I know, but
that's
people are twisting it. Yeah. Bureaucracy is bullshit.
Yeah.
Dude.
That's
half a
our
day
bank,
today.
Our bank doesn't let me spend more than $1,000 a day, and it won't let me withdraw more than $500 a day out of an ATM. And I'm like...
Oh, that's Blue Ridge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm like,
yeah,
my business costs like 80 to 110 a month to run.
Yeah.
Not our overhead. I mean, yeah, everything. Like parts, labor, material, everything. Like,
yeah, your break-even cost is 100 grand.
Yeah. And so
you're
like,
telling me I can't have 500 fucking dollars?
Like, I can only spend 30 on the big months. I can only spend $31,000. Like, I need three times that just to pay the bills.
I don't. It's...
So... We had a contest last month. The guys won. They hit the goal, so they all got like $150 cash. I go to the ATM to pull out $150 cash for all of my employees. It's over 500. Wouldn't let me.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't give my guys the cash at last Wednesday's meeting like I wanted to. And so
then
I call in.
You look like a huge douche.
Yeah. And so then I call into the bank and I'm like, hey, what's up with this? And they were like, well, it's for your safety. It's an added feature for you. And I'm like, no, this is hurting me.
Yeah.
Like, you say it's for my convenience, but this is not convenient at all.
I mean, in their defense, I will give them if your ATM card gets stolen.
They hinge it on that.
Yeah, but they like have to walk that gray line of what is
right,
like in the person's best interest, and they have to decide that.
Yeah.
How about you let me decide that?
Right.
Like, why don't you let me, you know, manufacture my own decisions?
Right. And I was like, for my convenience, you're not convenient at all. Like, I need three times that daily spending limit. Like, there's days where I spend 12 grand in a day.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, and that's why, like, Tradewinds uses the same bank account,
mm-hmm,
right? And so we got that all set up. Well, the first year and a half we ran it, well, I'll probably share too much here, but we were running off my credit card.
Cabela's card.
Because, yeah, when we had events and we were spending $20,000, it was, yeah, like, holy shit.
Well, and they wouldn't let you spend it.
Yeah, they wouldn't let me spend it. I'm, yeah, like, okay. Well, then after a while, I was like, this is... Nope.
Yeah.
And then they force you to get a credit card.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's intentional.
Well, you don't get the credit card with them though.
No, I didn't.
Right.
No, I got an American Express.
Right.
And then you went off the deep end about American Express. I have no problems with American Express, but I get your frustration.
I bet Tradewinds won't have problems because you're a different sector. I think it's only contractors that American Express is pushing right now.
And there could be something to that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't...
They're just trying to get as much cash in the bank as they can.
I also, because it's a different business, I don't ever extend us.
Right.
Like we have,
right,
you know, very stiff parameters in place that say, no, we will not spend this money. This money that from the guys goes to the event.
Yeah.
No one can touch that. That's their money.
Yeah. We're pretty structured with that to where we don't have to worry about surprise expenses.
Yeah. Well, and it's not a lot of money either.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's just, it's more like a slush fund than anything.
Hey, boys and girls, it's David. Mitch and I started Tradewinds to help trades professionals start their business, or if they've already started, to get it to a healthy and profitable level. It's training, it's coaching, it's mentoring, all in one. Click on the link in the description to find out a little bit more. There's a promotional video you can watch when you go to the website. If you fill out the contact form, I'll even make Mitch call you.
So, a wild, wild weekend for me.
Wild weekend for a lot of people.
For a lot of people. We had a wedding to go to in downtown KC, in Westport.
Where was that?
39th Terrace in Washington.
No, what was the name of the place?
It was a wedding chapel.
Okay.
Like, I don't think they hold Sunday services there. They might.
What was close to it? Dude, Westport used to be my grounds.
America's
Pub?
No, this was not in the bar district of Westport.
Oh, okay. A few blocks outside of it. Like, for it to be considered Westport, it's only like a 10-block radius from the center.
See where this takes us here.
That being said, your situation, what you're going to talk about, is why people don't go down there anymore.
Right.
Man, do you remember when we were 21, 22? I mean, you'd go down there, it'd be hopping.
Yeah.
The worst thing that ever happened was maybe a couple of fist fights on the street.
Right.
You know, there's the
Euro
cart out there, the hot dog cart, nice restaurants, smoking hot chicks just everywhere.
Yep.
And now it's just freaking hood rats and cops.
So this place was at a venue called...
Let's buy it.
Do we get it?
Give me something to buy it. I know, I'm putting you on the spot here.
Taco Bell?
I know where the Taco Bell is.
Mill, Warnell, Big Dudes Music City.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
This is like two blocks from Big Dudes.
First off, Big Dudes Music City is fantastic.
Okay. So,
used guitars in there. I love that place. It's been a while since I've been down there.
It's a church building at 39th and Washington.
Street parking 39th only?
39th Terrace. Yeah, street parking only.
Of course.
And so we park in front of an Airbnb that has a security camera pointing straight at Danielle's car. Now, remind you, this is the fourth time ever the Jeep Grand Cherokee SRT has been downtown.
First off, it's the second time the second Jeep Grand Cherokee has been downtown.
Yes. Yeah. So the first Jeep Grand Cherokee, Danielle drove it downtown for a girls' night, made it home just fine. We went down there for a pop-up bar, like Christmas thing, and that's the night it got stolen, right? So we replace it, do all the things. Now we have this high-profile security system on it and everything else. We took it downtown for date night on Wednesday night last week. Went to a couple of cool places, and it was pretty nice.
You went downtown last week, too?
Yeah, on Wednesday night. We were downtown for date night.
I'm sorry, two weeks ago. I don't...
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we went back downtown Friday for this wedding.
Okay.
And when you're down, like, the reason we take the Jeep over anything else is because...
It's easy to park.
It's easy to park.
Yeah.
I can't take my Super Duty because that...
You can take the Lightning, though.
I can take the Lightning. Lightning's still harder to park than her Jeep, right?
That's what she said.
Yeah.
Sorry, I haven't eaten anything today, and I just had some alcohol, so...
You're lippy.
I'm a little loopy, yeah.
At the wedding, you know, everyone puts their phones on silent to be respectful and everything else. And Danielle goes to take her phone off silent, and 21 minutes prior to that, her phone was going berserk that her passenger door was opened. And it's like, well, the only way they opened the door is that they had to break a window to get the door open. Mm. And so I go running outside to see
what's happening.
Street glitter. and a busted window.
Street glitter. Oh, glass.
Glass.
Okay, got it.
And they tried the driver's backseat window, the backseat window on the driver's side. They tried breaking that to then reach in and unlock the driver's door. And they hit it with their tool twice, and it didn't shatter. It broke the glass, but it did not crumble and fall in. And so they went to the rearward window, shattered that one, reached in and unlocked the passenger window, and then reached in and unlocked the driver's window.
What time is this?
4:45, 5. No,
oh,
no.
Oh, shit, in the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah, it was later than that. It actually occurred at 7:01 p.m. So it wasn't even dark.
It wasn't dark, but it wasn't in the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't...
The alarm went off at 7:01 p.m.
Gotcha.
But people saw it in the act. People were arriving to the reception and saw the car getting stolen.
Didn't say shit.
No, called 911. Nothing ever happened. We call 911 21 minutes later, and it takes them 30 minutes to show up. 50 minutes from the original 911 call. Active robbery happening right now. I have the suspects. I have the car. I have the license plate. 50-minute response time.
I don't...
We have the suspects. So we have...
Yeah.
Eyewitnesses at the scene that can place two black men getting out of a white Nissan Altima. We have the license.
They saw who they were.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
We have the white Nissan Altima.
Of course it's a Nissan Altima.
On security camera footage.
Yeah.
The cops will not do anything with that footage. They are literally in, like, cops hope your car gets stolen in KCMO.
I don't, there's a lot to unpack here.
Yeah.
I don't understand. One, what the fucking problem is downtown? Are there not enough cops?
So
are there? They've changed prosecutors. Is that one not doing it? Do the cops actually not care?
I don't know.
Do they have
it's a leadership
so much,
problem so, somewhere?
Do
for
they
sure.
have so much shit going on that they're like, look, dude, like so they pull you aside and like, hey, man, look.
So they told me
I want to help you.
They showed
there's
up.
There's nothing I can fucking do, dog.
Yeah, they showed up and I laid into them. And
well, that's your first off. When you need, this isn't just a cop thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you need someone to do something you want them to do, dude, you got to suck dicks. Look, it's just like going to the bar when you're a young kid and she's treating you like shit. You just keep laying it on thick, dog.
But here's what I needed them to do. I needed them to respond at an appropriate time, and I needed them to take the evidence and go pursue somebody. And they won't do that.
No.
And so that's why I laid into him.
Well, you wanted.
No, I needed. Like, active robbery, you're going to show up 50 minutes later?
50 minutes later, you don't need them to run those people down.
Yes, because in the city of Kansas City, Missouri, unless they see you with their own eyes stealing a car, they cannot charge you with Grand Theft Auto.
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about your feeling of need.
Oh, well,
versus their description of what they can versus what they can actually do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we want them to run them down.
Right.
We want that to happen.
You know why it took them 50 minutes?
Do you need it to happen?
You know why it took them 50 minutes?
It'd only make you feel better. No, I have no idea.
KCMO police had zero coverage in Westport Friday and Friday night.
It's because they're chasing around the hood rats on the motorcycles and the four-wheelers.
Right. Zero coverage. Wait till FIFA comes in town. Wait till a downtown stadium gets built. Look, oh my God.
This is all stuff that's bullshit. They're 200 cops down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know why?
Like,
why would I want to go be a cop for a city that won't prosecute anybody that I, when I do my job and I collar suspects, why would I want to work for a city that won't prosecute when I do my job?
Agreed. There is a new prosecutor. Those things are changing.
So far, the new prosecutor has not prosecuted any differently than the previous one.
It's not. I'm 100% on your side here.
Yep.
It is not overnight. It is not. This person got hired. Change happens now. It took 6 years of bullshit to get it to where it was. It's going to take more than 6 months to get it there. You know what I mean?
First thing I would do if I were mayor of KC...
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Is I would say, like, teach me the financial mechanics that allow us to build more jails, because we are going to put a fuck ton of people behind
bars.
That's not
the root of the problem. The root of the problem actually goes all the way back to COVID, when cops were getting treated like shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they can't get cops on the force. They have the funding and the money to have 200 more cops. They can't get motherfuckers to say, yeah, I'll do it.
Right.
That's the problem.
Well,
like, there is a problem between, like, yes, bad leadership, but that bad leadership started so long ago.
Yeah.
That it is taking a very, very, very long time for that shit to be built back up. We're talking 2020, 2021. It's 2025.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
so
the cops.
It's not. And the reason I know this is because my cousin's a cop,
mm-hmm.
and I have a really good friend who's an independence cop.
Mm-hmm.
They want to do the right things.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the manpower to do the right things.
Right.
They come to your call 50 minutes late, right? You want them to chase down these thieves who didn't actually get your car. On the way there, they drove by 10 homeless people on heroin, 4 crack houses, 3 girls working the corner.
Yeah.
Probably, you know, 2 rapes. Like, all of these major crimes are happening that they have to put their focus on. And so all of us that are, like, just trying to live our lives and are, like, mad because these piddly things. I say piddly. I'm not demeaning that you're getting your car broke into is, but on their list of things that they have to care about,
yeah,
they have to prioritize those things. It's just like business.
Right, right. No,
you know,
I get
it's
it.
It's damage control. It's like, what are they? I feel bad for them. I feel bad for guys that get their shit broke into. I feel bad for, like, kids getting beat up.
Right.
Because they just, there are no resources.
But here's the,
because of,
I will not allow
bullshit.
Them to say that they're understaffed and that's an excuse for poor behavior. You choose your staffing level. You choose your staffing level with how much you're willing to pay your people and how well you're willing to take care of them. And so if you're understaffed and you're 200 cops short, that's your fault. And so it's your job to get out of that. If you need to pay cops better, do it. If you need to treat cops better by actually, like, charging suspects and putting them behind bars so that the cop feels like his job was, right now there's a big problem. Cops put their life on the line to stop a suspect, and then they go to the prosecutor, and the prosecutor slaps them on the wrist with a $300 fine and lets them go.
Since the new prosecutor's been in, it's not as bad. But they have to, like what I was saying before, they have to work up back up to that.
Yeah, oh no.
You know what I mean?
I'm not giving them any slack until they're there.
You have to give the cop slack, because there's nothing he can do at that time when he comes to your issue.
Yeah.
He can't be like, okay, Mr. Smedley, what would you like me to do? Cut my pay by half so that I could get another guy and maybe we could have been here in 25 minutes instead of 50? There's literally nothing he can do there.
Right. But when you choose to sign up for the police force, you represent the police force. And when I don't have an outlet to express my frustrations to the police force, I'm going to express it to the member of the police force that's standing in front of me.
And that gets to what I was saying before. When that first guy is there,
mm-hmm.
he has 27 other things to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He has 27 other people like Mitch.
Right.
They're in front of him. Who do you think he's going to give priority to?
Right.
It's the same thing as a sale.
No,
you know what I mean?
Like, I totally get it.
Like,
however,
that guy comes to me and this guy's being a dick, and this poor cop is like, dude, what do you want me to do?
I get it, but I'm still going to lay into you for it.
Yeah.
You
and
know?
That is, like, that's your right to do,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't gain you any ground. It
well,
makes you feel better.
Oh, it totally makes me feel better. There's no ground to gain. If I would have been the sweetest guy ever, the outcome of that interaction would not change. And here's why.
Hold on. This is the traffic stop scenario.
No. Traffic stop's different.
When someone pulls up and says something and they're a complete fucking asshole,
They're going to guarantee themselves a ticket.
Yeah. When you're a nice person, you might get off the... It's the exact same thing.
No, it's totally different. Because here, the damage had already been done. The car had already been attempted stolen. They had a 50-minute response time. Their policy is, unless they see it with their own eyes, they're not going to go after the suspects. So there's nothing I couldn't have sweet-talked them into taking... Like, they won't even take the video footage. And while we're standing there talking to the cops, one of the suspects drives by.
You think?
No, we know. Again, there was somebody who saw it happening. One of the suspects drives by, and the guy who saw it happening was talking to the cops. There's the guy that did it right there. We can't do anything with that. Don't even worry about that.
Why didn't you take off after him?
Because if they can't do anything about it, now I'm the aggressor.
You don't have to tell the cop.
Right.
Like, you just fucking go.
Yeah, but the...
Well, let me ask you, like, if the cop would have showed up there in 10 minutes, the guy's still already fucking gone. They didn't see, you know what I mean?
Right.
If he's there in 37 seconds after it happens and can't see the guy's car, it doesn't fucking matter.
Right, but at 37 seconds or 10 minutes, it shows that they're making an effort. At 50 minutes, there's no effort being made.
Are you mad at the effort, or are you mad at the didn't catch the guy?
I'm mad at the effort, for sure. And I'm mad at the policies that prevent them from ever... If you have a rule that says you have to see the robbery happen with your own eyes and video evidence can't be admissible...
Yeah, we should start robbing banks. I agree 100%.
If that's your rule, and then you don't make an effort to get there in a timely fashion, then I have a problem, right?
How do you know that the cops didn't get there... You don't know.
The people that arrived probably got there as fast as they were dispatched to get there.
That's what...
However...
When cops are on calls
mm-hmm.
that are important,
mm-hmm.
domestic violence, whatever, mm-hmm. okay, and the call goes over the radio, like, everyone in that area has a map, right? And listen.
I understand how the process works.
Okay, and they're...
I understand that it's not that individual person's problem or fault of why they're there.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if all of those people are on a call more important than yours, mm-hmm. regardless of dispatch time, they can't leave that more important call to come see a car that didn't get stolen.
So it's a staffing problem.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is FieldPulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using FieldPulse. So if you'd like to check out FieldPulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this.
I 100% think it's a staffing problem.
Yeah.
They have said they need 200 more cops.
Yeah.
They're not even getting the fucking applicants to do it.
Right.
Like, it's not...
They're not trying either.
No, I know. We're running in circles here. I'm telling you it's not the cop's fault.
Right. No, I know, like, it's not the cop's
fault. And you lay into the cop. If I was cop, I'd have probably fucking put your ass in handcuffs and be like, well, until we figure out what's going on, sir, you're being detained.
He tried getting lippy with me, and he said, I need to calm down or else I can walk the report in. And I said, dude, I pay your fucking salary. You're here.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Or county, Jackson County. I forget where we're at.
Yeah. I pay your fucking salary. You're here.
When people say...
Your job is to take this report. And then I reminded him. I said, by the way, of the two of us, who is trained to arrive at a situation where the people that you're arriving to are under a highly stressful emotional state? You are. Use your fucking training and deal with my ass. But... because of past experiences, I'm expressing my, and I very clearly told him, I'm expressing my frustration for your department. And because your department makes it impossible to vent frustrations to, you're a representative of your department standing in front of me.
Yeah.
And I'm batting 50% of my car getting stolen or attempted stolen when I drive it to downtown. So yeah, you're going to see me in a heightened state. And after that moment, he totally calmed down and he was like, you're right. I get it. And I said, I cleared up. I'm like, I'm not frustrated at you. I'm frustrated at your department, and you represent your department, so you get to catch the frustration.
Yeah, but still, it ain't his fault.
No.
I'm still on him.
Yeah.
I'm like, I feel bad for them.
Yeah.
I do. If I was a cop, I wouldn't fucking work downtown either.
Right.
My brain works.
Yeah.
I know that I can go be a cop in Merriam or Blue Springs or Independence, have some fun chasing some dipshits around.
I mean,
and actually get something accomplished.
I was joking around with them. I'm like, I very clearly chose where I parked. There's a security camera right there. There's one right there, and there's one right there. There's security cameras on both ends of this street watching all traffic on the street. And I'm telling you that because I know that you don't care at all what those security cameras have.
He cares. He cares. He can't do anything about it.
Right, right. But again, he's choosing to work for a department that ties his hands and doesn't let him do anything. He's choosing to catch the heat and the frustration from citizens that have had their car stolen or attempted stolen 50% of the time they drive downtown.
That's 100%. So, 100% agree. Let's talk about something that's going to piss you off. Someone that knows a fucking car is at the top of the stealer fucking list.
I love where you're going with it.
Still buys the car, knowing that it could be stolen, knowing that this is going to be an issue from here on out. And says, nah, I'm just going to take that on. I would love to deal with some more of that stress level in my life.
I refuse to allow thieves to have an impact on the quality of life I choose to live.
That's not true.
It is true.
That's not true. When it comes to taxes, what do? We try to mitigate our loss through tax code. We try to make the smart decision that will not affect us financially.
Correct.
And don't tell me that fucking government isn't full of criminals.
No.
They are too.
I get it.
You are literally choosing to allow criminals to affect your life.
Nope.
Yeah.
For your own example right there, notice how you didn't say, because of taxes, we try to make less money.
That's actually not true. I do try to make less money in certain areas, or make it show I've made less money.
Show less money.
Yeah, I'm
right.
Smart, and I do whatever I can do to mitigate my losses, regardless of how I see things, or
so,
regardless of them ripping me off, I guess is what I should say.
So an equal comparison to what you're saying is, I'm going to make as much money as I can, but then I'm going to mitigate my taxes as much as possible. I'm going to drive the car that I want to drive, and I'm going to do what I can to prevent it within my power as much as possible, right? And so we got the fancy drone security system on it, which
that's not true.
Kept it from getting stolen.
That's not true. You wouldn't drive it downtown.
Well, again, I will not. Imagine owning a car that I can't take certain places. Like, I refuse. That's victim mentality, and I refuse to even embrace that idea.
If it was a Ferrari, you wouldn't take it down there.
If it was a Ferrari, I wouldn't take it down there simply because of the risk of a collision or a pothole. That's a little bit different than a normal, like this. This is a $60,000 car. It's not anything.
A normal thing that can happen is hitting a pothole.
Right.
A not normal thing is that you choose to do is park it in a place that can get stolen, whether it's a Jeep or a Ferrari or whatever.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
You're still choosing to take on that risk.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what's causing the risk.
So should a person with a motorcycle never park it out of their eyesight, unarmed? Because, I mean, you can literally just roll a motorcycle into a minivan and go. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they are literally taking that risk, and that's their risk to take. That doesn't make it a smart decision.
It's like parking a convertible with the top down. It doesn't make the owner of the if that car gets stolen, it doesn't make the owner of that car any more liable for the theft because they parked it with the top.
We're not talking about liability for theft. We're talking about what we are willing to risk,
right?
Knowing,
yeah,
that risk is out there,
right? So I got a 200.
A person that has a convertible that leaves the top down gets their shit stolen out of it. Guess what? They don't leave the fucking top down anymore.
They may.
But you know what? That person also knows the risk,
mm-hmm.
and the risk is out there, but then chooses mm-hmm. to make a decision that yep. they're going to have to live with.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Don't get me wrong. It's a conscious thing of, do we want to take the Jeep? Oh, I don't want to park the truck and blah, blah, blah. Right? So, like, we have the conversation, but that does not excuse the rampant, like, the problem is the thieves. And is the moment we try to turn the problem around to the honest citizens, well, you should know you can't go down there. You should know you can't drive that kind of car down there. No, I should be able to. I mean, as much money as we pay in fucking taxes, there should be police force down there. I should be able to drive the car down there. And
yeah,
but the moment you try to turn it around to the owner of the car choosing to drive their car down there and that car getting stolen, that's... Like, some people aren't fortunate enough to have multiple cars. What if the only car you have is this car?
You're trying to state, like, that there's not going to be crime. Crime is always going to persist.
Mm-hmm.
Theft is always going to persist. So,
what are the odds of you getting your car stolen in Blue Springs?
I had mine stolen out of my fucking driveway.
Okay. How many nights did it park in your driveway before it got stolen?
Probably not that many. I very rarely left it out. One night I left it out. Do you know how many times I've left it out since then? A vehicle outside since then?
Probably not many.
Zero.
Right.
Because
right.
I learned my fucking lesson.
Right.
I know.
I guess what I'm saying is that
I know that there's nothing I can do to prevent the fucking shitheads from being out there.
Right.
Right. There's nothing I can do.
Right.
There's nothing you can do. There's nothing the cops can do. They're going to be out there.
Yeah.
If I want to protect my assets, mm-hmm. I'm going to do everything in my power to mitigate loss.
Right.
Regardless of whether it's the boat, the car.
Right. No,
leaving cash out on my porch, not locking my doors at night.
Right.
Like, I'm going to mitigate that loss. I'm not going to say, well, I left my car out in the driveway and it got stolen, but that's a one in a million. We should have better, you know, security and sheriffs and more patrols and all that, so I'm just going to keep leaving my truck unlocked.
Right.
No.
Right.
I'm going to fucking take due diligence, mm-hmm. and I'm going to park my shit inside.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
was the aftermarket alarm system that keeps the ignition from functioning to where they can't steal it. All they can do is break windows and try. And that's what they did.
Right? Yeah.
And
but they broke windows and tried because it's a very...
Mm-hmm.
easily stealable car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so we will still continue to drive that car where we feel to drive it because I will not give the thieves the satisfaction, and they don't even know this, but I will not give the thieves the satisfaction that I have to reduce my quality of life for fear of them.
You don't have to reduce your quality of life. You could drive a fucking $125,000 Land Rover instead. You know what I mean? Like, you not having that specific car doesn't make your life less. Doesn't mean you're not enjoying something fantastic.
I guess what I'm saying is I don't have any fears of driving that car anywhere else. It's only Kansas City. That car goes out and about every day in Blue Springs, every day in Lee Summit, a little bit in Independence, never have a problem. 50%, two of the four times it's driven to Kansas City, it gets stolen.
That's not a car problem.
That's a city problem.
I wouldn't be surprised if you went to like 435 in Metcalf in Kansas, nice area, and someone tried to break into it.
I doubt it. Different cops.
I
different cops that actually respond.
It's not. That's not cops either. Like, you park it at
different police departments that have different rules for what they can and can't prosecute.
You park that thing on code at Coach's off I-35 and 35th Street,
mm-hmm.
and someone tries to break into it but don't get there, but the cops get there in 3 minutes instead of 52 minutes,
mm-hmm.
it really ain't going to matter.
No, but they show an effort.
We're not on effort anymore. You're still going to have to deal with replacing windows.
Right.
And, like, totally. Those are all choices that you openly are like, okay, I am fine with owning this vehicle knowing that at any given moment, this is going to get broken to at a higher percentage rate.
That's like saying you chose to drive a Tesla, so when it got burned in all these riots because people hate Elon, that's on you. It's like, no, motherfucker, these criminals are still the ones that are the problem.
They're not burning Teslas because they know they can get away with it. Or they're not burning Teslas because they know, or not trying to steal Teslas because they know they can steal them and it's an easy target. They were doing it for a completely different reason.
It doesn't matter the reason.
It does matter the reason.
No.
Because if it was your truck down there, they're not even going to try and fuck with that truck.
No, right. I get it. But sometimes I don't want to drive a truck that's branded with my company name all over it.
No, that's not the point. The point is, you're choosing to drive a vehicle that is probably going to have crime prevented against it as a choice.
Yes. Oh, totally.
You are choosing...
I chose to replace the vehicle with the same vehicle, even though it just got stolen.
No, you didn't. Danielle did.
Well, I mean...
You literally told me, I wish you would get something else.
No, I didn't. No, never.
We had the talk. You asked me about the Traverse. You asked me about other vehicles.
We took the opportunity to look at other vehicles, but no,
But she was like, no, I want this. Yeah. This is what I'm going to have.
Yeah. And...
And regardless,
and if it would have gotten stolen, we'd probably replace it again with the same thing because she really likes the car.
What if that Jeep was, she loved that Jeep, loved driving that Jeep, but it kept blowing motors all the time?
That's different.
Would you just keep doing it even though it was costing you money?
No, that's different.
I don't see that as different.
Yeah, because I don't choose to own a product that's going to let me down. Right?
Not that it lets you down, that it costs you money.
Right. Well,
whether it costs you money of the engine blowing out because it's cheaply made, or it costing you money because thieves think that they can steal it,
yeah,
it's still costing you money, and it's a choice that you made.
Oh, right, right. It's all choices, right?
Yeah, I know.
I could sell the thing and go get a Chevy Aveo and never get it stolen ever again, but I don't want to drive a Chevy Aveo.
You keep bringing up that I don't want my life to be less.
Yes.
There are steps above the Jeep.
Oh, right, right.
You know
totally,
what I mean? That's middle of the road. You could have super fancy shit that's all on the upper end spend much money.
When I'm talking quality of life, I'm not talking about universally accepted status symbols. I'm talking about driving the vehicle that you enjoy driving.
That could be 100 different things.
Yes, totally.
That could be 100 different things.
It could be.
That don't get stolen. Or that aren't at the top of the easy steal list.
Right. Right.
Like, it's a choice.
Oh, it's, yes.
It's a choice.
It's a total choice.
If I get this McLaren or this Ferrari that I want, I will never, I doubt I'll ever leave it alone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I will drive it from point A to point B. I will sit outside and have a beer and then bring it back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not going to make a choice to say, okay, I bought this. This is fantastic. This is what I want.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take it downtown and just leave it fucking there for someone to fuck with it. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
That's a willing risk
that
you're standing ground on.
Yes, absolutely.
Even though
imagine people that live in KC and they've had their house broken into every year.
I'd move. They're idiots.
I understand.
They're idiots.
But you can't say it's not the cops' fault. Right?
Actually, it's the people that live in the area around there who are
Whenever I say it's the cops'
fault,
like my plumbing company, if my plumbing company fucks up a job, the guy who fucked up the job is going to take heat, just like the whole company takes heat, because he was trained by the company and he's following the company processes.
Yeah.
Right. So, whenever I say KCMOPD let me down again, I'm talking about the department. I'm not talking about officer so and so that let me down.
No, I know. We're not talking about that.
I know.
We're talking about your choice to keep rolling with the same vehicle.
Fuck yeah. And I will keep doing it over and over. Only now I'm going to get a magnet for the side that says FBI surveillance video or surveillance vehicle, and I'm going to put it on the side of it when I park it. Or
the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and not changing.
Right.
I'm going to drive this. I don't care about the risk factors. And then when it gets broken into, I'm just going to, I don't care. I'm going to eat the money.
Right.
It's going to cost me $3,000. I don't care.
So,
and then I'm just going to keep on going.
So hindsight is a beautiful thing, right? And it's easy now to look at this and say the vehicle's been downtown four times and stolen once and attempted stolen once.
It's not hindsight. It's SRTs are stolen at a extremely high rate.
I understand. But
it's not a one-off.
Prior to this incident on Friday, it was a one-off.
So for you, it was a one-off.
It was the first time in my life and Danielle's life that either one of us have had a car stolen. Okay? So until you have enough evidence to say this is a recurring thing, then...
It is a recurring thing. SRTs are stolen at an extremely high rate.
I understand. Until you know, like, until you know that personally, and I'm not saying you have to listen to this personally. Like, there are a lot of people out there. If I sold the car or quit driving it to KC after the one thing, I might look a little paranoid. It was one thing. How often is it really going to happen, right? But when it happens twice out of four times, now I have 100,000% more information than I did on the one isolated incident, because Danielle and I have driven downtown, you know, thousands of times in other vehicles.
Yeah.
Right. And so until it happens twice, then, okay, hindsight's like, all right, we're batting 50%, two out of four.
Yeah.
That's a problem, right? So will I continue to drive that Jeep downtown? Probably not. Will I fix the Jeep and keep rolling with it? Abso-fucking-lutely.
Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
You fix the Jeep, cost you $5,000. You drive it to, what did I say earlier? Metcalf and 435.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, somewhere nice. And it gets broken into again.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what would happen then. I can't answer that from this point. But
if I will say this. If that happens, knowing everything you know about mm-hmm. SRTs, and it happening to you personally three times, like, I would question your mental clarity.
Yeah, maybe.
At that moment.
But again,
like,
I refuse to embrace any portion of the idea that the innocent victim is somehow responsible for it.
They're not responsible for it. They're willing to put themselves at risk because of something they enjoy.
Right.
You know what I mean? At what point is that problematic?
Right.
At what point are you a dumbass?
Right.
Essentially. I'm not saying you. I'm just...
Yes.
At what point are you an idiot? Like, if I leave my truck outside every day, it gets stolen every 6 months because I'm leaving it unlocked with the keys in it. At what point am I a dumbass?
Right.
Is it one? Is it two? Is it three?
Right.
But no, that point, it's 100%... Yeah, I don't want to live in fear of the criminals. I like to leave my windows down at night. I like to be able to walk out there and not have to find my keys. But mm-hmm. at what point is it like, dude,
right.
pull your head out of your fucking ass and put the son of a bitch inside.
Right.
Because there's nothing we can do to predict or enable the actions of others. You know what I mean? Like, we can't
right.
control it. We never know. We never know what's going to happen. The best we can do, and this is like business, the best we can do is be as prepared as we can be.
Right.
To put every procedure in place that we can put in, to put every safety protocol in place that we can.
Yep.
And have the best checklists
yeah.
to mitigate our risk
yeah.
of not only money, but safety, everything
yeah.
else. And at some point, it becomes a me problem, not a everyone else problem.
Right.
Because there's just no...
A lot of it comes down to odds, right? If three SRTs get stolen every night in Kansas City, but
yeah,
there's 100,000 SRTs in Kansas City, or RTs, Dodge, Mopar products, whatever.
Yeah, we keep saying Jeep, but it's all of the Jeep brand that
right.
are SRTs
it's
easily
the Mopar.
Stolen.
Yeah,
yes.
Right. So, like, again... We know that people get murdered in Cancun, but people still gravitate to Cancun by the millions every year.
I don't go anymore.
Right. Well,
like when the gang started killing people, Janine's like, hey, do you want to go to Cancun? I was like, no, let's go to Cabo.
Right.
Like, I looked at their safety shit. I was like,
mm-hmm.
no, let's go to Cabo this time.
Right.
No.
And eventually, like I get it. Yes, it is kind of a gray area. And I totally understand.
No, it's a great debate, man. It's
yeah,
a great debate.
I totally understand that I'm in control of what vehicle we choose to drive, and I'm happy to have the luxury of choosing vehicles.
Yeah, of course.
But I will never, ever entertain a scenario where this is somehow my fault because that city can't get a grasp on crime, right? It's not like I couldn't, it's not like I could choose to avoid Kansas City for that occasion. We had, like, what am I going to do? Not go to their wedding because it's in Kansas City and I just don't go there?
You drive something else. Next time you'll drive something else.
Probably.
Yeah. You'll know. You'll be like, no.
Right. Right. No. Or next time I'm going to go down there and I'm going to set it up and I'm going to film it and we're going to do some bait car shit.
If you ever want to do bait car shit, I am down.
Let's do it.
I would love, you know what I would love to
do? It would be amazing.
What I would love to do.
To watch it get messed with.
Is you, at night, Mitch is in the passenger driver's seat, seats laid all the way back. Like gangsters like to roll, right? Tarp over him. Black. Flat black. The windows are blacked out, right? Like you look in there, no one's in there, right? Dave's in the back seat, in the floor. Blacked over. And we've got cameras everywhere. They break in. Maybe we leave the back window cracked just a little so we know they come in the back. I grab that motherfucker and you wake up, haul ass. And we've now kidnapped someone in downtown and we're hauling ass through the streets.
Yeah.
Like that would be fantastic.
If I could find a way to safely detain somebody, like I'm literally like the only step away from me doing the bait car thing.
Well, first off
is if I can find a way to safely detain somebody until the cops get there and have video evidence of them breaking into my car and me detaining them.
Why?
And all of that.
Oh, we're taking this completely different. I'm thinking taking like to the woods,
oh, beat
the shit out of them and leave them. Like,
don't get me
that's
wrong.
That's what I'm thinking of.
what really should happen, and believe it or not, this would have a bigger dent on crime than anything that fucking jackass Mayor Quentin Lucas is going to do.
He's a piece of shit.
If somebody set up a sniper post over a bait car, and the moment the window got broken, they got popped in the head, and there they are dead at the scene.
Yeah.
You do that two or three times.
Yeah, SRT.
And all of a sudden, nobody's going to steal an SRT because they might get popped in the head.
Yeah. Well.
And it's like.
I mean, you say that. People are dumb.
Well, I mean.
People are dumb.
I bet it drops the theft rate by 50%. Right?
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Like, yes, that's barbaric. However.
No, it's not.
However, those guys are fucking thugs, lowlifes that don't need to be roaming freely around the city anyway. You're doing the world a favor. Even though you're taking a life, and even though you're violating the law.
Yeah.
Right? It's like the guy where his daughter got sexually abused, and as the guy was walking, this is like from the 80s?
It was a boy.
Okay.
The guy raped a boy, and he's on the cell phone.
He's on the payphone.
On the payphone. He's like, hey, man, I got to go. He's walking by. You're going to hear a pop. Yep. And he turns around and smokes that motherfucker
right
in the side of the head.
Fuck that dude. Did that guy get off? Yes. All charges dropped.
First off,
justified homicide.
We should go back to that.
Right. That's what I'm saying. If criminals actually had an element of fear that what they were doing was going to be uncomfortable for them in the future if they get caught, they'll stop.
Yeah.
Death's kind of uncomfortable. Incarceration is not all that comfortable.
Death's kind of uncomfortable.
But right now,
you don't know you're dead.
But right now, there is nothing to prevent somebody from stealing a car.
It's
crazy.
Like that. Have you seen that? I see it all the time. It's like you'd rather you value someone or you value your own property more than you value someone's life that's breaking into your house. And then the other person's like, no, the person breaking into my house valued my stuff more than their own life.
Right.
Like, yeah. Dude, someone breaks into my house, they're dead.
Right.
Instantly. I'm not going to say that because I don't want this to be used against me, but like, they're dead.
Right.
I don't care. They're dead, fucking dead.
Dead suspects can't talk.
That's right.
Right.
They're fucking dead.
Right.
Today, I'm down in the office. I'm on that fucking bullshit call, right? Like, literally, she's just picked up, and Layla's like, Dad, someone's at the house.
Yep.
Like, what? I kick my camera over. I'm talking to the guy. I can see it. Well, it's a salesman, right? But immediately, she went in and woke up Janine. Janine's like, yeah, I grabbed the gun. I was like, okay. Well, at least we have our priorities straight in the house, like as of right now.
Yep.
Dude, because people are nuts.
Yeah.
People are nuts. Oh, garage door's open. I'm just running around your garage stealing your shit. Fuck you.
Evil will always exist in this world for sure.
Yeah.
So,
we have to mitigate our own loss.
Well,
that's my point.
Or being prepared to handle evil. One or the other. or both.
Yeah.
Right. So, in addition to all of that, and I know we're already 45 minutes into
this. First off, it doesn't matter. That was a great debate.
Yeah.
Those are great points. People need to think about those things.
Yeah.
Whether it's business, whether it's personal life, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
I love how guys will say it. Mostly guys in trade ones be like, man, you and Mitch, sometimes you guys, we haven't in a long time. We can get into it.
Yeah.
No, we just like to have good debates.
That's because you and I have enough respect for each other and value each other's opinion well enough to listen.
And ask. Yeah. Ask questions.
Right.
Get an answer. Ask questions. Say something. Do you need to take this phone call? Your phone's been going off for 30 minutes.
Yeah, a little fire in the plumbing company,
uh-oh,
but we're good.
Who is it?
No, we're fine.
No, tell me. Who is it? You know, you're not helping me here.
One of my guys got his camera stuck in a line, and we have to do an emergency floor break. So we got a
basement floor break.
Yeah, we got to move some schedule around because we already had other jobs lined up. So no biggie.
Who did it?
The team is working on it. Spencer.
Oh, but damn it, Spencer.
It's never anybody's fault to get a camera stuck in the line. It's always the line's fault. So because when you're
pushing, just a part.
It's just a risk.
Part of yeah. The job.
Yeah. So
poor Spencer.
When you're pushing the camera in, you don't know the bottom's rotten out until you're in the rotted out bottom. Yeah. And then you're like,
you
oh,
ever
shit.
See one where the camera, like it breaks loose and then goes,
uh-huh.
And then it's over. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple.
And they
those.
Get stuck in the crack.
Yeah. It's over.
Yep.
That cast iron will grip a spring.
Oh yeah.
Hard. Yeah. Yep. And it's over.
So in addition to all of that, yesterday,
minutes. We've been talking about this for 49 minutes. You know, we got a call at 4.
Yep. In addition to all of that, I had a little bit of a legal thing wrap up yesterday that I want to talk about. And as silly as it sounds, I know we've been 50 minutes into the show, but this is actually the meat and potatoes of the show because we were up against a fairly significant legal team and some fairly aggressive charges that, if they would have stood, would have been a significant impact on my family's life.
Let me ask you, I know where this is going.
Mm-hmm.
If they would have gave that to you, would you have had to move?
I don't know. So, like that, high level overview. We kind of talked about this a little bit on a previous show.
You should ask an attorney because I'm curious.
Yeah, it would all depend on what the judge ordered. But high level overview. About a month ago, we were spending time on the boat, and I have a neighbor that I do not get along with. He is very volatile, and so I.
For
I,
those that listen to the show, he has two neighbors he doesn't get along with.
He is very volatile, and no interaction with them ever turns out peacefully.
He's a psychopath.
Ever. Yes.
He
and,
is a psycho.
So anytime he calls, I do not give him the time of day because he is one of those guys where everything's the biggest emergency because he thinks he's that important.
Yeah.
And I could go on and on about the interactions to show this guy's level of narcissistic behavior. And I don't use that word lightly. I think that that word is way overused.
Narcissist?
Yeah. There's a lot of women. A lot of women that claim they're recovering from a relationship with a narcissist.
It's because they are narcissists.
It could be.
Women,
right?
Dude, women are like 80%.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
compared to men.
So this guy... this is the same guy who threatened to sue me a year ago because he got a solicitation text from my company. We text all of our customers, special offers and promos. And instead of replying stop, he wanted to argue about it for 3 days. And he threatened to sue me.
This is the guy that alleged your kid shot their
yes.
kid with a BB gun. We've talked about it on the podcast. We had 30 minutes on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. So he... he called me. I didn't answer. He texted me and said, I need one of you to call me right away. And I said, about? Question mark. And he said, Mitch, pick up the fucking phone and call me, or I'm going to call the cops in 30 seconds. You got 30 seconds to figure it the fuck out. And I just replied, call them. Like, no matter what's going on, if you think the cops might need to be involved, they probably need to be involved. I don't even know what's going on yet.
Yeah, call them.
So I told him to call them. So then we call our one son that was home. Come to find out that family thinks that my son shot their daughter in the face with a BB gun.
Which we find out is bullshit.
And so then Danielle tries to call their wife because she's usually pretty easy to get along with. She refused to answer the phone, hands it over to Todd. Todd answers the phone, cussing my wife up and down one side and the other, calls her a fucking cunt and all this stuff. He literally answered the phone and said, I gave you an opportunity to handle this. The police are on their way. And she says, Todd, I'm not talking to you. Please put Nicole on the phone. And Todd says, fuck you, you fucking cunt.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's and, also how you get your fucking ribs smashed in.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying.
And so then, you know, all the squad cars show up and everything. We're still out on the water because Grant says, no, this none of this has ever happened. And their daughter has a long track record of lying a lot.
In her defense, her parents are crazy and she's a little girl. Like, right. She's tiny.
Right, right. No, I'm not blaming the daughter. This is totally a parenting thing. And so Grant's like, no, nothing ever happened. I'd tell you if that happened. Like, it didn't happen. And so we tell the cops that we're, like, we call the cops ourselves and let them know we're not home. So whenever it's our time, your time to talk to us, just call us. And so the cops call us and say, yeah, we've gotten to the bottom of it. No, she wasn't shot. She fell down when she was running inside. She walked out, saw the boy shooting a BB gun. Todd claims that he's trained his daughters to run anytime they see a gun, even though he has thousands of them. And
didn't he get?
Yeah, he got raided by the ATF for the amount of guns he owns.
That's why all mine are at the bottom of a lake somewhere.
Yeah, that damn fishing accident.
Yeah, that's a bitch.
But so the cops tell us that Todd's trained his daughters to run when they see a gun. As she was running inside, she has a hereditary condition where her knee pops out of place quite often.
Yeah, she fell.
Her knee popped out of place. She fell. She came inside. She was so worked up, and that's the first thing she could say, and it was a story that she made up. It's all in the police report, right?
Yeah, the little girl said she made it up.
Yeah. And so then that gentleman waited a few days and got a different officer at the police station that was not there that night. That shift was not working. Got the other officer to just take notes and actually successfully file what is now a false police report. Because the police report is nothing of the police words or what the police saw. It's only Todd's account.
Yeah.
And so then the sergeant in the police department found out that he was successfully able to file a report, and he knows what he can do with that report. So the sergeant had the team that worked that night file what they call a supplemental, their actual account of the events. And the Underwoods were unaware of this. And so...
So the cops give a recant. They give their testimony, basically, of, look, this is what happened.
This didn't happen.
The girl
Here's
didn't
what happened.
Get shot. Yep. This is what actually has happened.
Right. And so then Todd was able to take that first original police report and go to the county and request an order of protection, which is different.
Everyone wants to think of, and I'm going to let you finish that. Mm-hmm. Everyone thinks that all of these, the sheriff, the Blue Springs, the Highway Patrol, all like talk to each other and it's all one entity.
They don't. Right.
It's not.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you have to have probable cause to file for an order of protection. And so he was able to use the false police report as enough cause to, he got granted a trial. And last Monday I got served with papers for court date yesterday.
I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah. We were on a coaching call when I got served. Right.
Mitch had to leave. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Yep.
I don't remember who it was.
I don't remember either. But
so we continue with our coaching, blah, blah, blah. We're talking, and Mitch comes back. That individual gets off. I said, what the hell happened? I just got served with papers.
Yep.
I mean, I laughed for 5 minutes.
Yeah. So, obviously, this whole thing's complete bullshit, and I'm expecting them not even to know that that supplemental report is out there. And so, we go to trial, and which, I mean, is stupid that we're there to begin with. This whole thing's been fabricated and manufactured.
So, no attorney for you?
No attorney for me.
Okay.
I called the Blue, because I've never been to anything like this. I called the Blue Springs police to ask them for a little bit of advice. The Blue Springs police are totally on my side. They understand that Todd's trying to pull a fast one.
Yeah.
They've told me.
Great police department.
Yeah. They've told me, you know, you have any issues, any questions at all, here's my number. The sergeant of the police department actually called Danielle from his personal cell phone Sunday night of Memorial Day weekend at 9 p.m.
And you want to tell me that cops don't care?
No. Departments. This is the difference between a good police department and a bad police department.
Did everyone hear his voice tone change? Stabbed him.
Yeah. And so he calls Danielle to let her know that his officers just wrapped up putting in their supplemental report. And we're going to need that because they know what's been filed.
They know it's bullshit.
And so we're like, awesome, thanks. And so I go up the next day and get a copy of the supplemental. And
do you get a hard copy?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And so the supplemental was very damning to their original case or their original report because it contradicts almost everything in the original report.
Yeah.
And so we go to trial. And prior to trial, I'm gathering all of this evidence, factual evidence, to establish the type of person that this man is. And this goes all the way back 4 years ago, I guess. And so we go to trial. I don't know what to expect. They show up with an attorney. Their attorney looks like, have you ever seen the movie B-Movie?
No.
You've never seen B-Movie? Tom Hanks is a
bee? Yeah. Brown jacket, white shirt, red tie.
Pudgy.
Yeah.
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 Their attorney looked exactly like that dude.
It was probably Todd's cousin.
I don't know. His last name was Mitchell. That's all I know.
But the irony.
I know. So they show up with an attorney, and what I was prepared for was like two people having almost like a mediation type conversation in front of a judge.
Yeah, and the judge decided. The mediator. Yeah.
No, this was whole like put your witness on the stand, swear the witness in, questions. I told you. I get to questions and all this stuff, right? And now Blue Springs Police told me you don't need an attorney. This doesn't cost anything.
Because
if a battered woman needs to file for an order of protection, they want no barriers to stand in her way. And I'm like, makes total sense, right?
Yeah.
So this is one part of the legal system that's actually free for us to use, which is cool.
Yeah. It's like civil court.
Only this was a giant waste of everyone's time. Even civil court has court costs.
Do they really?
This is no court costs. No nothing. So
okay.
Their attorney goes and swears Todd in, and Todd lies through his teeth about the accounts of the events.
So he puts his hand on the Bible and lies.
Yeah. No Bible.
Ah.
Raise your right hand. You don't put
so
anything
is he,
on.
He still should be in contempt of court for lying.
Yeah. And so basically he's not lying. He's just not telling the whole truth. He's giving you enough of the information to suspect something happened, but he has no way to prove that the something happened. In other words,
he's just saying, this is my daughter came in and said X, he's, Y,
in
Z.
Other words, they were, without a doubt, they were shooting a BB gun in the backyard. My daughter came in without a doubt and said her cheek hurt. My daughter had a red mark on her cheek.
Yeah.
That's all the evidence. They have nothing to support. The red mark was much larger
was
than a BB.
Was he the only witness?
No, they called his wife up too.
Did they call a little girl up?
No.
Okay.
The judge was pretty adamant about not putting kids on the stand.
I agree 100%.
Right. And so
kids are you can manipulate a child very easily.
Right. And so I had spent the days leading up to that preparing with all kinds of facts. And so one of Todd's claims against my family is that my son exposed himself to his three daughters.
But this has nothing to do with this case.
It does, because it establishes a background of bad behavior from my son to their family. And so he's trying to get an order of protection from my son.
Okay.
To their family.
I did not realize that he was trying to go back that far.
Yes.
He's a kid. He's peeing in the woods.
He's peeing in the woods.
5 years ago?
It was 3.5.
Yeah.
So he's a 9.5-year-old boy peeing in the woods. And the daughter saw.
Every
And they've sexualized it from a very common behavior that all boys do. They've sexualized it and turned it into he exposed himself in a sexual manner.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Maybe it's because there's some sexualization going on at that fucking house.
Maybe. And so what I did, my only question for Todd goes through all these facts and I stay there stone cold face, no emotion, no nothing.
I'd never make it, dude.
And I said, Todd, if you really thought this happened, what father in their right mind would allow their three daughters to play in bathing suits and nothing else in the backyard of the boy in question with zero adult supervision for hours on end?
Yeah.
Because they've done that since this supposed incident that has no factual bearing.
So you're telling this during the trial?
Yes. That was my public question to Todd. And Todd said, well, we didn't let them play together for a summer, but we relaxed on that. Okay.
Okay. So bullshit. Gotcha.
Right.
Okay. Understood.
And I can't put words in his mouth, so I can't add one. All I can do is ask questions and he can answer them. Right?
All I would do is add one and the judge would be like, Mr. Hilton, stop being a jackass.
And every question I asked, their attorney objected to it. And every time their attorney objected, the judge overruled their objection.
Yeah.
And didn't sustain a single objection.
Yeah.
And so that was the only question I had for Todd. Boom, shot the hole in your narrative right there. Nicole gets on the stand and lies through her fucking teeth. And we knew she was going to do this. We knew they were. We didn't know who was going to do it because they've been going around to all the neighbors and trying to get the neighbors to provide them statements as to how bad of a boy my son is.
How many of them have done it?
None.
Yeah.
But you know what? Of the three neighbors they went to, there are four neighbors they went to. Two of them said, I'm not getting involved at all, either way. Two of them provided us statements and not them.
So she goes to them, wants a statement. That homeowner comes to you and says, hey, Mitch, I'm going to give you a statement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's fucking fantastic.
And so one of the statements or one of the claims, and this just happened recently, edit that out. I don't want the name in there.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
I'll wave or something to give you some kind of a fast visual.
I got it. 102. Dude, okay. I got it.
Beep.
Yeah. Okay. I got it.
Their daughter went to one of the neighbor's houses last week, and they were like, hey, is school out? And she goes, yep. And they said, do you have any big plans for the summer? And she said, well, this is my summer of trauma. And she was all sassy. And she said, that little boy that likes to come over here and play all the time, he shot me in the face.
Can you say coaching without saying coaching?
Right. And so here we've already admitted to the cops that it didn't happen. And now, after spending many nights alone with your parents, we're back to it did happen, right? They've been coached. Another incident that happened in the last week was apparently the daughter came outside for a few minutes and ran back inside trying to claim that my son was calling her a bitch from all the way down the street, like screaming at her. My son was over at the neighbor's house, at a friend's house. Their mother, the unruly neighbors, Nicole, texted our other neighbors and said, hey, I'm told this happened. Did it happen? And our other neighbors said, no, it did not happen. I was there. And she said, okay, thanks. And then our neighbors thought to screenshot that text message and send it to us.
How can you tell me you're not a shitty neighbor without telling me you're a shitty neighbor?
It's right.
When all the other neighbors are like, okay.
Yeah, we're done with this.
People wonder why I want to live out in the middle of nowhere by myself.
Yeah. And so that neighbor had the foresight to screenshot that conversation and send it to us and say, hey, I know what you guys are going through. This conversation happened, and I want to give you guys a screenshot of the conversation in case they try to twist my words. Okay?
Yeah. Because that means the neighbor is afraid that these crazy fucking lunatics
are
going to go against someone else soon.
They're really good about creating the possibility that something happened without providing any fact that it actually happened, right? And so now Nicole gets up on the stand and she talks about all these things and, oh, I'm just so heart, like she was clutching her pearls the whole time and I'm just so heartbroken because we used to have a good relationship with them and I don't know what's changed and they've just gone downhill and all this. And so she ended her thing with, and another incident that's happened recently is my daughter went outside and Grant was calling her a bitch from down the street and she heard it and came inside and told me. And I was like, awesome. So awesome.
Did you smile?
Yeah.
Creepy guy smile.
Yep. And so then it was my turn and I asked the judge, I'm like, hey, I don't have a lawyer to ask me questions. So can I just get on the stand and just kind of, I have like a whole presentation. And she's like, yeah, that's fine. And so I get up on the stand, my presentation's linked. It's all on paper. It's not like a PowerPoint, but it's linked with photos to support the claims I'm making.
So you're making these claims. She's going through your notes. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, see photos A, see photos B, see photos C, all this stuff. And so I was able to go back to unruly texts from 4 years ago.
So did you screenshot those and then print them?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And 4 years ago is when I started transitioning myself away from Todd.
201.
Yeah. because he invited us to bid on a project, and he was motherfucking two different people within 15 minutes of me showing up.
Yeah, I'm out.
And I'm out, right? Yeah. I'm not even going to bid on the project. And then, of course, he hounds me and motherfucks me about the bids that he got.
Yeah.
I referred him to two other plumbers that I know are cheaper than me.
Yeah.
And their bids were 15 grand, and he was motherfucking
them.
You
just text him back and be like, hey, dude, look,
yeah.
I'd have been higher. What do you want?
Yeah. And so that's how his phone number got into my system. And then so the next thing I brought up was a year ago where he threatened to sue me. Instead of just replying stop, like the text message indicates, reply stop to be removed from the list or reply stop to opt out. Instead of typing four little letters and hitting stop and opting out, he wanted to argue for 3 days and try to do this business owner flex.
Yeah.
I know more about the FCC. This is going to cost you a lot of money. You fucked with the wrong person, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Nothing, tough guy stuff.
Yeah, nothing ever happened from that because we are in perfect compliance
really
with the FCC.
I'd really like to see someone push that guy down.
Right. So then we get into this incident on May 9th and how aggressive he was. And we, like, the text messages prove it. I'm entertaining him with a one word answer and a two word answer, and then that's later it. On a one word answer.
Yeah.
I don't bait. I don't encourage. I don't instigate. I do not associate with that person.
Yeah, because right? He's insane.
He's yes, and so that night when he was texting and demanding and everything else, no replies, no nothing from me. And so those screenshots proved very advantageous in this, because here's a guy that got crazy heated, lost his temper, everything, and I didn't lose mine. There's not a cuss word one from me to him, right?
Yeah.
And so then another thing that Nicole disagreed with on the stand was they did eventually find out about the supplemental report. And maybe their officer went and, or their lawyer went and pulled the report again the day before the hearing, just to see.
Yeah.
But they were, one of the things that she was vocally upset about, she mentioned in the courtroom, was why weren't we notified of this supplemental report? I was.
Bitch.
But it's because the police know that you're trying to perverse the system.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and cops, judges, they could see through. They're not stupid.
Right.
They could see through that shit.
And they understand that you waited to file the report with an officer that wasn't there so the report could lean your way.
Yeah.
And so the supplemental was just literally putting the cop's point of view in it. That's all. And so in the supplemental report, there is a quote in the report where it says Todd became irate. And she's questioning that. She had like a list of like 7 or 9 questions where she disagreed with the supplemental report.
Yeah.
And so my questions for Nicole were along the lines of like, huh, well, there's 3 other adults in the room. I wasn't even there that night that the report was taken. I wasn't there. We were away. And so it's your family and 3 non-biased police officers. And you're telling me that you disagree with the accounts of all 3 of those officers. Yes. Okay. And then here one of your plainly listed things, it says Todd became irate, and your notes say, I don't know why this is in the report. This never happened. Are you telling me that you think these 3 police officers are lying and they just added that into the report just to add it? And she says, yes. Okay, cool. That's all I needed, right?
Thank you for your time.
Yeah. And so then I get up on the stand and I start going through all of our incidences and everything else. And I let the judge know, and I, you know, testify or whatever you want to say, that the sergeant actually called me to let me know the supplemental was filed. And you watch both of them and their attorney get like all turned
red
up.
Red face.
Yeah. And then while I was at Man Weekend at the Lake, Todd decided to tag me in a Facebook post, which was ultimately one of his nails in the coffin.
I don't remember this. I remember you calling me.
Yeah. He tagged me in a Facebook post where he shared so I had made a post about learning that Nerf guns were illegal in the city limits of Blue Springs.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And in the post, I say, my kids were shooting a BB gun in the backyard, and through this interaction, we learned that Nerf guns are also illegal. Well, Todd misread my post and misinterpreted it, and he said, your son was not shooting a Nerf gun in the backyard. He was shooting a BB gun, and your son shot my daughter.
Learn to read, you hillbilly.
Right, learn to read. But also, there's no facts to support this claim. And he says there are many witnesses, even outside of this home, that saw the incident. Wrong. But his whole claim for the order of protection was stalking against my son. Okay? He was claiming my son was stalking them. My son has never once initiated an interaction with them, ever. They've initiated them all, right? And so,
well, maybe he's good. We don't know about it, but so maybe. Far the facts say no.
Right. The Sunday after all of this happened, the police were called to my house again because they claimed that Grant was riding his bike down the street and flipping him off. And they've got it on video. They got security camera video.
Let's see it.
Video absolutely shows my son riding down the street. Video absolutely does not show anything of my son flipping anybody off.
What? What? Yeah,
police sent 3 cops to that.
I don't want to sidetrack you. Why are they trying to start a whole bunch of shit?
I don't know.
Understand?
I have a feeling that Todd, I might be Todd's arch nemesis somehow, and he's.
But you don't just go wake up one day and be like, you know what? Mitch Smedley's going to be my arch nemesis today.
Yeah.
What happened?
Todd is a bully. He likes to push people around, and he likes to command that people do things. And whenever you push back on that, he wants to go flex how much he knows and how big he is, right?
You think that's because he's a cripple?
I don't know
why. He has little man syndrome?
No, ever
like
since...
He's got a little...
I'll be 100% honest. Ever since he started taking Kratom, his attitude and his actions and his words have been wildly unpredictable. And for those that don't
know... Maybe it's drug-enhanced?
Yeah, Kratom is a manufactured drug that is sold at CBD and weed shops that's kind of... It's like legal methamphetamine or legal heroin. It's not illegal yet, but I would imagine it probably will be soon,
messing with his functioning.
Yeah, or it'll get classified with marijuana to where as soon as the active ingredients cross a certain threshold,
you're out.
It's now illegal.
Yeah.
But like CBD is legal as long as it only has so much THC.
Yeah.
Right? So anyway, Todd owns a Kratom manufacturing facility. He manufactures, sells, and distributes Kratom all over the world.
Mm.
And so ever since he's gotten on that is when he...
He's fucking with his brain.
Well, that's when he started banging the yoga instructor, and he divorced his wife while she was pregnant with their third kid. And he moved out of the house.
What?
And moved in with the yoga instructor. I helped him move. Okay?
First off, this is all new. Second off, what the fuck's the matter with you?
This was 5 to 7 years ago, maybe.
What's the matter with you?
Well, it's just being, like, if any, I didn't
it
help.
It was just being a good neighbor.
It was, if anything, I didn't help him move for him. I helped him get out of the house so that his wife could have some peace with her and her two daughters and her pregnant self.
I've seen that cripple walking around. What? Was the yoga instructor hot?
Yes.
Is it because he has money?
He's so distorted. He had 3 black and white semi-nude photos of her in the house he moved into. And he pointed at the photos and said, "Am I an idiot, or wouldn't you leave your wife for that too?"
And I said,
"You do you, man."
No comment.
Right. So
Mitch
anyway,
like, oh.
Maybe. So we didn't bring up any of that in court. Didn't need to, but I was able to bring up enough incidents where Todd has become irate and things were blown out of proportion.
Did you say anything about the Kratom?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I let him know that he owns a Kratom manufacturing facility.
Oh, you just said that.
Yeah. And so I was able to bring up all of those text messages and everything, and then I was able to just play on the fact that they have no proof that any of this happened. And their attorney played one clip of a security camera footage where this is after the incident occurred, and it just so happened our security cameras didn't catch the incident.
Yeah.
It's because there was no incident to catch.
Yeah.
But it did catch this.
Yeah.
And so here we are standing there in suspense to watch the video. And it's Nicole, the mom, walking into their backyard, looking down at our house. And she says, "Hey, boys, are you shooting a BB gun?" And you hear Grant say, "Yeah." And she says, "Well, keep it pointed into the woods."
Okay.
That's it. That's all you hear.
Yeah.
And then what happened after this that you can't hear in the video is, again, more claims that they can't prove.
Yeah.
Right? And so it was literally just a matter of me going with facts and evidence and me having a now 5-year track record of not entertaining Todd's bullshit and me not allowing him to bait me into an argument. And one of the text messages I sent him a year ago, I flat out said, "This will be my last communication to you about this. Any further attempts for you to contact me about this issue will be considered harassment and will be treated accordingly." And he replies with 3 more texts. And one of them, like, here, let me find
hey,
it.
Motherfucker. You know who I am. Bitch. People are crazy, man.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I'm not going to say what I want to say, but someone very close to me, they will literally say to me, like, "Well, we should take them to court and show them what a bad person they are." Those aren't facts.
Right.
And I, And I think a lot of people will lean on their feelings and what mm-hmm. they think is going to happen versus mm-hmm. what law actually is, and think that they can manipulate the system to get what they want. If it can't be proven, you're fucked.
Right.
Why do you think all these documentaries about people getting away with murder are out there?
Right.
Because they couldn't prove shit.
Yeah.
And you're going to try to prove something that didn't happen that really is not a big deal, even if it did happen, and try to fuck people's lives up
right.
with no facts.
Right.
Like, how dumb do you have to be?
Well, and this is Todd's MO. He wants to act like he has the power.
Should I be beeping out his name and all this stuff?
Fuck no. This is all public record.
If you get me in trouble, I'm going to fucking sue you, and I'm going to win.
This is all public record. This was all, I mean, it's...
Oh, okay.
I'm speaking
so, like,
of everything
that
was...
anyone can go and look this up.
Yeah.
Court transcripts.
And all of these articles were admitted to the court and referenced as, you know...
Article A.
Article A, Article B.
Photo C.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Evidence A or whatever, right? So one of the things that he said, I said, stop, I'm done talking about this. Any further attempts to communicate with me about this will be considered harassment and will be treated accordingly. A minute later, he says, go fuck yourself. A minute after that, he says, this will be my last communication. A minute later, he says, this call all would have been avoided if you would have followed FCC law, right?
See, I will give you a lot of credit. Like, I don't let that shit go. Like, I keep the conversation going, and when they get mad, I give them my address, and I say, come on over here, and then if they have the balls to show up, they're getting their ass beat in the front yard.
Well, that was on
camera.
That was on day three of that conversation. On day one, he said, if you want to get in a pissy match about this, it's going to cost you a lot of fucking money. Your ignorance and your arrogance will be your downfall. So,
pot kettle.
That was all over a text message he received from my company offering $30 off a garbage disposal. Right. So then a whole host of all of those text messages and everything else. And it was pretty easy as the trial started kind of winding down. Like, you could tell the judge had already made up her mind long before this.
You can usually see halfway through. They just stop flipping through paperwork.
Yeah.
They just kind of set it down and then they do this.
Yep. And so
they just listen.
The ultimate MO for that guy is he wants to act like he has all this power to make your life miserable and cost you a lot of money and run you through the court system. And when you challenge him on it, when you know you're in the right, when you know you haven't done anything wrong, when you challenge him on it, a narcissist can't back down from that kind of
challenge. They double down.
And so he's going to double down. He's going to hire an attorney. He's going to dress up in his Sunday best and try to represent his family as well as he can. He's going to jump on the stand and lie through his teeth with no facts to support anything he's saying, and the judge sees right through it. And this guy loves trying to say, this is going to cost you a lot of money, and so far, hadn't cost me a dime.
No. I wonder how much he spent on that attorney.
I don't know. But
it'd be nice to know.
Yeah. The attorney did nothing. Like,
it was
it did not help their case at all.
Sister.
I have no doubt it's a highfalutin attorney. I mean, Todd's involved in legal shit all the time. But
this motherfucker's on a retainer.
The,
do you think he's going into court all the time, and he's like, this fucking bullshit.
Dude, he was sweating and shaking. The attorney. I was sitting right next to him. He was sweating.
Why?
And I don't know. Probably because he knew they were going to lose.
Then he wasn't highfalutin attorney.
I don't know.
Highfalutin attorneys roll in there in their silk suit and they're like,
I mean,
whatever.
It's probably sweating and shaking because he knows he's fucked.
Well, it's not like it's going to come back on the attorney.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. I mean,
although he was like, if you don't win this fucking case, you're not going to handle all my fucking kratom bullshit either.
Right.
Well,
maybe
sorry,
it was
dog.
Leveraged on there and he was in a lose-lose
First
situation.
First off, that guy was like, he was probably thinking, man, this is the best thing that's ever fucking happened to me. Fuck this guy.
Yeah, who knows? But they were so visibly upset when the judge announced that they would not uphold the order of protection and that we were free to go. They all threw their hands up in the air, slammed them on the table. They were rolling their heads back. They were, oh my gosh. And we just very quietly stood up. And then the judge recognized that there may be some hostility there. And so the judge held them and then sent us down first. And the bailiff the judge ordered the bailiff to walk us out first.
Yeah.
And that way, so both families aren't riding the same elevator down.
I wonder if the judge can be like, all right, you know what? I'm going to reverse this and be like,
right,
I'm going to put an order of protection on the Smedley family.
I have a feeling that the judge wanted to do that, but protocol is they can't do that unless I file for it and request for it and submit all the facts. And I very easily could submit everything that we submitted on that.
Maybe you
to flip it
should.
On. It's not worth it because realistically, I'm not afraid of that man. I don't need protected
from
him.
It's not that you're afraid of him. It's that sometimes there's got to be some due diligence. Like,
yes.
You know what? You get what you deserve.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes that shit needs to happen.
And there'll be a time, if this continues, there might be a time and a place for that in the future. But right now, it was just handling the battle on the same terms that it came to me on, right? You want to serve me with papers? I'll kick your ass in court. So, essentially,
I wouldn't say you kicked his ass. You won.
Well,
like, kick your ass is like the some judge guy, was like, you stay the fuck away from the Smedleys, like, yeah, that, you know.
Yeah, you know. Oh, the I mean, the judge said this. You know, I'm surprised this got brought to us. Kids have no place in court. Figure this out. You know, find a way to coexist with each other or whatever. In other words, they were chastising Todd. Like we didn't ask for the court case.
Yeah,
and we can't. Like, if we refuse to come, then he wins. You know?
Yeah.
And so we were just doing what we're required to. And meanwhile, Todd's being
a complete piece of shit.
A total douche, right?
Yeah.
And you bring an attorney. Like, I bet that as soon as the judge realized, like, holy cow, they brought an attorney to this hollow ass case with no facts.
Yeah.
And if anything, facts to support the other way that they're flat ass fucking lying.
Yeah.
That judge was probably like, you fucking waste of time. So,
mm.
But the moral of that big story is that if you have a track record of being honest and being transparent and doing what's right and not picking fights, like, there's enough arguments in the world out there. You don't go need to start them. You just need to stand your ground on the ones that come to you naturally. And
people seem to forget that everyone will remember your past. Everyone will remember what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what has built, you know, your character in their mind's eye.
Yeah.
And like, if you have a bad reputation, you know, we talk about business all the time. If you had a bad reputation, your business is going to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a bad reputation in your personal life is going to suffer.
Right.
Quit being a fucking asshole all the time.
Right.
Just try to coexist with some people. It's amazing to me how often people will take piddly shit that doesn't matter and then try to drum it up into something that's, you know, way over the top.
And they do it for the wrong heading, right? Like, they're doing it because this is their version of standing up for their kids.
No, it's because they want to be right.
Yes.
And they want to be on top of other people.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's the same thing as competitive nature. We have competitive sports because people want to be better than everyone else.
Right.
The problem is when that competitive nature rolls over into hurting other people, not in the sports arena, that's where it's a problem.
Right.
You know what I mean? And people just, they want to be on top. They want to be better than you. They want to have things you don't have, and then they want to rub it in your face.
Right.
That shit's over.
Yeah.
That's what Neanderthals did.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to say I'm above it because I still will do stupid shit sometimes when it comes to that because I'm an extremely competitive person.
Yep.
But, like, to take it to a point where you're taking people to court over something that you know you can't win,
mm-hmm.
that just shows your own stupidity.
Right, right.
Like, and if you do that in the business world, you're just a complete and utter failure.
Oh, yeah.
You're not going to fucking make it.
No.
You got to check yourself.
Yeah.
What's the rapper say?
Check yourself
before you wreck yourself.
Right.
Stop.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
That's the thing is, like, you have a long enough track record of you doing right and you having good behavior and you handling things accordingly. That itself goes so far. Yeah. He had an attorney. I didn't. He's been through the legal process. I haven't. Not in a situation. Like, I defended a former employer one time in court over a property damage claim. And I went with straightforward facts and evidence. No attorney needed. And we won. And, you know, the attorney side of things is just kind of wild. But your hubris will cost you if you don't have it in check, for sure.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened here. So the cool thing is, because it is the court system and you never know what's going to happen, the cool thing is nothing ever did happen, because part one rule of the order of protection is you can't be within 500 feet of them. And we live within 100 feet of them. So that would have been an interesting thing. I don't think they can force you to move. But what's also crazy is the two houses that those daughters like to play at the most are closer to our house than their house. And so even if they modified the rule and said, okay, it's 100 feet, well, then you just cost your daughter from being able to play at the two houses she enjoys playing at the most.
When people will literally put their personal matters above their own children's happiness mm-hmm. so that they can feel like they're right. They're pieces of shit.
Yeah.
Like, they just are pieces of shit.
The one final thing I'll say on this is he seemed to hang up on this. You know, we get kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place because as much as I would love to settle this the old-fashioned way and just go punch that problem in the mouth, I can't.
That's what you got friends for.
Right. I can't. I'm not going to go catch an assault charge because this guy's behaving improperly. Right. And so we had to be, you know, we had to fight the battle on the right grounds. Right. Well, one of the ways that we decided to fight the battle was when it became very apparent that they are bad people and now they're both in on it. Danielle, every time she sees them, she flips them off and makes sure they see it. Right. And either one
off,
of them.
Could you give me a definition for instigator? Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Is it?
Yes. Of course it is.
At what point is standing your ground instigating?
When you see someone at 100 yards and they're not coming towards you and you give them the finger, that's instigating.
No, they're coming
that's
towards
not staring you. That's not standing your ground.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is... You can only call the cops to my house so many times. I'm not going to sit there and take it and, are you going to call them again this week? Are you going to call them again this week? No. Eventually, I'm going to start expressing my opinion to you about your behavior. And if I can't do it physically, I'm going to do it with an action that's protected under the First Amendment.
Have you ever...
That was his grounds for the stalking, by the way. The continual flipping off.
And that's not...
One of the questions I asked Nicole was like, do you understand that the middle finger is protected under the First Amendment?
No.
And the judge actually stopped me, and the judge said, that's not a question you can ask her. You can't ask her if she understands the interpretation of law. That's a question that you can ask me, and I will note it.
That's not.
But you can't ask her that question.
First off, that judge is wrong. That's not an interpretation of law. That's the constitutional First Amendment.
Right.
That's not.
Right.
The Constitution is law, but
I mean,
I
pointed out to the judge, I said, I could stand in front of Todd's house in the street, in the public roadway, and I could stand there facing his house, flipping him off all day long, 24 hours straight, and there's not a thing anybody could do to me. If I'm not impeding the flow of traffic, I'm no different than a picketer sitting out in front of a business with a sign that says bad things about the business.
I wonder...
It's protected under the First Amendment.
Have you thought about printing up flyers?
Flyers.
Flyers that just said, hey, be careful about the people that live at address,
we
blah, blah, blah.
We have this problem here. Yeah.
Like, this is a problem, and they are just looking for people to pick on, and they just go hand them out.
I just post it in the neighborhood Facebook page.
I do both. Like, when someone comes to your house and they're rolling up a piece of paper and, like, sticking it in your door, like, hey.
Yeah.
Like, you know it's serious.
We got to be wrapping this up. And so.
we got a call.
We're way long.
We're 6 minutes.
So.
It looks like you're taking that call on your own, buddy.
If hopefully this message helped you out. Hopefully it helps you understand that if you have a long track record of being a good friend and de-escalating situations, eventually that's going to pay off for you. And my track record in this particular case goes back 5 years. So.
5 years of insanity living in a subdivision.
Yeah, just remember, anything you text can be screenshot and used against you in the future, so make sure you don't text anything you would ever regret.
That's right.
Because all of those screenshots were what brought us a victory in that case. So until next week, guys, we will see you later.
Bye.